The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Tuesday, already the 20th day of October 2020. How many days to Election Day, Mikey? Less than 2 weeks? Well, let's turn up the COVID-19 stuff. That's what the Democrats are going to go after Trump with this Thursday. I have with me this afternoon a lovely lady. She's out on the left coast. Marilyn Singleton, a doctor and a lawyer. I guess you got to be kind of a doctor and a lawyer nowadays to see what's coming at you. And if it comes at you in a negative way, well, you can pick up your other credentials and have at it. At any rate, how you doing today, doctor?
I am just fine. How are you?
Well, I'm having a COVID-y moment. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. Remember, flatten the fear.
Oh, my God. That was no joke, by the way. That's what the Biden campaign is going to center on. They've made adjustments to Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump's debate, and we're going to have mute buttons that if they go past their allotted time, they will just be muted out. Never saw this before. It has been suggested that there are not going to be no questions asked about foreign policy, which, of course, that's right up Joe Biden and his son's alley, so to speak. The Russian collusion and everything. Well, there was collusion going on, but it was the Bidens stuffing their pockets with ill-gotten gains of millions of dollars. But you see, doctor, they don't want that brought up. They put that under the header of foreign policy for the debate Thursday. I don't know whether they'll go blind, wind my wristwatch, give up the business of radio, or just look for the first alien ship that's leaving the planet. It's getting mighty strange here, isn't it?
Well, it is strange. The only hope for this is that there supposedly is a leadership section. And I think you can shoehorn anything into that. And I do hope our dear president finds a way to bring it up where he will not get censored. And if he does, it will look so bad that it will make him look good.
You know, I don't know. I've not had you on to ask you this question, but people have asked me repeatedly about Trump. You know, why do you like Trump so much? And it isn't that, you know, personally, would I go out and seek Donald Trump as somebody to be a beer buddy with or a golfing buddy? Probably not. But in extraordinary times, sometimes extraordinary measures have to be taken, and he was the medicine that this country needed back in 2016.
Absolutely. And I think that's what people have to look at, that this is one of those times where you're not voting for the personality. It's not JFK and Camelot. It's not Obama being the first black president. We are still in troubled times. And I think all this stuff that's happening with Twitter and Facebook shows you how troubled we are. We're voting for the First Amendment. We're voting for the Constitution. And people have to look at that and look beyond the person. And there's many a time there's been sort of a creepy person who has led the nation, led medicine or law or any other field, and you might not like them at that moment, but boy, are you happy that they did what they did for whatever your field or your country was.
I all this to set this one up, Doctor. During a conference call with campaign staff that the White House reporters were allowed to even listen in on, which is, I guess, unusual, he complained that there is a bomb every time Dr. Anthony Fauci goes on TV. Now, this is far from the first time Trump has complained about the good doctor, but it might be the first time he offered some direct commentary on exactly why he won't fire Fauci, and that would load up the Democrats' cannon just to fire right at him. I think everybody understands that. Though he conceded that the good doctor is a nice guy, he says sarcastically he's been around for about 500 years. He says, but people are saying whatever, just leave us alone. People are tired of COVID. People are tired of hearing Fauci and these idiots. And he put that Fauci's name in that same sentence. All these idiots who got it wrong, every time he goes on television, there's always a bomb, but there's a bigger bomb if you fire him. This guy is a disaster.
It's very interesting, isn't it, how we have such short memories. Dr. Fauci made a mess of the AIDS problem, and so we fast forward now, and there's tons of controversy over his handling of AIDS, and we've all forgotten about that. And then fast forward to 2020, and even in January, February, Dr. Fauci said things that he's changing his mind on now. Now, we didn't know a whole lot about this SARS-CoV-2 virus, the virus that causes COVID. Fauci had some knowledge about it because he actually was involved in some experiments on the first SARS virus back in 2003. So he wasn't completely unfamiliar with it. However, he made a lot of comments that he's now changed his mind on. And we can argue and say, okay, well, none of us knew everything. Well, so then neither did President Trump. So how all of a sudden is Fauci the genius and President Trump is the ignoramus when all he did was do what Dr. Fauci told him to do? And it's Dr. Fauci who's changed his mind.
Well, and he's done this repeatedly. I mean, back in January, February, he was asked about masks and he said he didn't think they were necessary. There have been numerous studies done on it. Now there is a fear that it's causing more health problems than supposedly it's trying to prevent by people getting a random flu virus. And now they're saying that bacterial lung infection is a real possibility with people. Now imagine being elderly, having, you know, comorbidities of this sort or that sort. I mean, we all have them. Especially when you age, things just don't work the way they used to. And there's no big surprise there. But what was done to the aged in the nursing homes was, in my estimation, Doctor, underreported to the max, because what they were doing is sending people to the nursing homes when they actually did have a flu virus. Not that COVID-19 is the bubonic plague of the few flu syndromes out there. It is not. But there is a trap that's been laid. And even Trump can't go against the often repeated numbers of over 200,000 people in this country have died from this flu, when we have seen exactly how this has been engineered.
But one of the things that throwing numbers around does is it takes perspective away. When you hear these silly folks say, President Trump killed 200,000 people. Mm. And that's where you have to sit back and say, wait a minute. Now, even saying that this whole epidemic had some other way it could have been handled, even if somebody dropped out of the sky who was the best epidemic expert ever known to man, someone would have died. So let's get rid of that he killed 200,000 people.
Well, and
and in fact, it was predicted that 2 million would die.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was
around the other way.
That was based on their faulty model that they dreamed up and then said, yes, 2 million people. This was to get the hype and the fear rolling. And it's still in parts of this country, you still see people driving down the street in a car by themselves with a mask on. And it's like, oh my God, I have not worn a mask one time. And this idiot governor that we have down here in Texas, you know, I make a joke. I mean, people cannot, I don't hold it against them for being wheelchair bound. A lot of good people end up in wheelchairs. And it's sad. But does that mean that because their mobility is restricted, that their thought processes? I've said this guy is paralyzed from the neck up. Here we are moving into November, and we still have restrictions in Texas. This is the only Republican governor that's doing this. The rest of them are Democratic.
It's very interesting about these restrictions. Again, as more time passes, people are realizing that all the models for lockdowns, and in fact, even the original model for lockdowns, is not valid. It doesn't work. And now there's been enough time that's passed that there are graphs of states that had lockdowns, states that did not, countries that had lockdowns, countries that wore masks. All these things that we're doing, we now have graphs and the deaths, the hospitalizations, and the number of people that have positivity for the SARS virus. And I say it that way because that's another thing people do to get us fearful. They call every positive test a case. Every positive test is not a case. 40% of people don't have any symptoms, or who test positive don't have symptoms. And they may never get symptoms. So you're not really a case. You were just a positive test.
And again, the PCR tests themselves were not designed to specifically pick out a virus like the coronavirus that's been around for how many decades now? I mean, it's the same virus responsible for common colds as well.
All in the same family.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one is different. MERS, the Middle Eastern virus, that was back in 2009. The SARS-1, 2003. And then it's a beta coronavirus. And that's one of the viruses that causes common colds. So, yes, they have been around. And this is one of the things that it's a wonderful discovery is the people who went to the blood bank to donate blood. So these are not people who went to the doctor because they thought they were sick. They, of course, get a COVID test before they donate blood. And it's found that some 30% have some reactivity. So it's been thought that the T cells, those are the cells that hold the memory, not specific antibodies, but they hold the immunologic memory, that those T cells were kind of ignited by having other colds, having other problems. And so maybe that's why a lot of people aren't getting infected, because of this T cell immunity. So they're just kind of fighting off that virus in general. Now, there's tons of things out there that we don't know, but we're learning every day. And we have to turn this focus around to looking back to what Dr. Farr, an epidemiologist all the way back in 1840, when smallpox came out, came up with a curve that has been followed over the years that says a virus is going to do what
yeah.
it's going to do.
Doctor, let's take this break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back with Dr. Marilyn Singleton. Oh, you're on the West Coast. What state are you in?
California.
And you're still there because?
I am a native, and I have to say, I love Southern California. I love the weather, and my family's here. It's one of those things that, sadly, I've seen it devolve, and this really bothers me. The first election I ever voted in was for Ronald Reagan for governor. I mean, that dates me. And to see us go from there to where we are now, it's really rather creepy. I went to a downtown inner city high school, and my high school taught Latin and Russian and Esperanto, and we had physics and all these things in a downtown high school. And now they barely teach kids English, and it's really sad to see what's happened to the state.
It's been taken over by a bunch of wingnuts.
Well, to put it succinctly, yes.
Yeah.
And you know what's really sad? Well, there you are in Texas. where there's giant keep out signs because the Californians have brought their crazy ideas to Texas when they move.
Are you ready for this? I just saw this on the local news, cable outlet news. Since 2018, moving into Travis County, which is Austin, the capital of Texas, 167 people a day. Moving in from, and you know, I made light of this. I was tongue in cheek, but I was a little bit serious, as most humor, to find it funny. It's got its basis in truth. I said, rather than Donald Trump building the wall on the Mexico-U.S. border, we should just build one around California.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it's really bizarre to see, Marilyn, the politics that come with them. And I noticed this 2, 3, 4 years ago. People just, I'm minding my own business, I'm out in public, and I would have people approach me to school me on the latest societal meme. Like, why are you doing this? You're not allowed to do that. And I would just stop and I would look at them and I'd go, you're not from around here, are you? Where are you from? California. You know, I said, didn't you fill out the application to move to Texas? Said, what application? I said, the one that says that don't bring your politics with you? That one?
Well, what I wonder is, why do they move? Like, if I moved, I would move someplace that had less virtue signaling, politically correct stuff. And why would you bring it with you?
Well, okay. I didn't say they were stupid. Why would you go from the frying pan into the fire? you can go to another liberal state or whatever you would like to do. That would be fine. But many people are figuring out that, wait a minute, we got some of the highest taxes here. They're complaining because millions and millions of acres have burned to the ground when they didn't have to, because they weren't taking care of the forest out there. They weren't doing forest management the way they were supposed to. Rerouting water, just doing insane things, all the while ramping up their, I don't even know what to call this anymore.
It's called, I'll give you a quote from someone you know quite well. It's called Fundamentally Changing America.
Yeah. Well, here's the new reset. Newsom, I look at this guy and I go, well, you know, he doesn't look like a communist. But then again, what does a communist look like? A very fine looking man. I'm envious of the dentures this guy has, or actually it's his own teeth. But his dental bill per year probably exceeds my income. And I just look at the privileged people that are demanding that changes be made, societal and economic and everything else. And then stand back and say, okay, by the way, this is going to cost you more money. I mean, this is the perfect socialized model of California and the people there. And it's just not the people that are trying to save on their tax dollars, their whatever, because they're being taxed out of existence in California. There's a lot of medium and lower income people that are bailing out of California because they can't even handle it.
Well, those are the ones who are hurt, because the elitists will still have their mansions, they'll still have their gated communities, and they'll still have their gas-powered cars, while everyone else is taking the bus because they can't afford an electric car. I can't believe that Newsom wants, by 2035, we're talking 15 years from now, to have all electric cars, all electric kitchens, all electric homes. And we have brownouts now when people turn their air conditioning on. Yep. So one, where's the electricity supposed to come from? And two, can you imagine how people would charge their car if you don't own a home? And of course, no one can afford to own a home. That there's cars parked on the street. It's not like you can charge your car in 15 minutes. So you'd have to plug your car in overnight. You'd have to have an electric charging station, like parking meters.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's so totally untenable. Well, it's almost like a child creating some dream.
Well, and, you know, in the future, fossil fuels, well, I don't know how much more efficient you can get with internal combustion engines, because now they're getting 35 and 40 miles to a gallon, depending on its size. During tenuous economic times, people will have the tendency to get the mostest for the leastest. Now, they tried this Green New Deal, if you notice, Doctor, after the 2008 ripoff. I'm sorry, it's the greatest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind by way of the banks and their mortgage-backed securities and all the other scams that they pulled. They started the Green New Deal. Well, we got to go. Now is a perfect opportunity to go green. And I'm going, what? What? It doesn't work. You know, I've driven through California. I've seen the wind farms. And all that's fine, but you generate electricity during the day. Where do you park it? Oh, that's right. You got to have batteries to store it. So how many batteries do you need to take care of a population throughout the evening and night hours? I mean, the whole thing is insane. I'm not saying technologically we won't get there one of these days, and I wouldn't resist it if we did. You have a choice. Well, you can drive that old nasty, you know, internal combustion polluting machine, or you can drive this nice car. Look, I talked to a guy for the first time, Doctor, that had a Tesla. And It was a beautiful car. It's well made. But he and I got to talking. We're talking Austin, him going up to Dallas. He had to stop twice to recharge. And I said,
it's a problem, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. And what if you want to travel the back roads of America? How many charging stations or a very long extension cord are you going to need when your batteries go dead, like in your flashlight?
Well, this is a problem with California taking these unilateral positions. If the rest of the United States isn't on board, I mean, basically, you couldn't leave California to do a road trip like you described, because there wouldn't be any place to charge your car. There might be one charging station in 300 miles or something, Utah or South Dakota or somewhere. And what do you do?
I've made the trip here from Central Texas to Southern Florida in one sitting, and I've done it several times. It's 16, 18-hour drives. But imagine if not just stopping for fuel or restroom break or to shove something down your throat to keep you going. How many recharges would I have had to make, and how long was that going to take me? You know, my time is my money, or my money is my time, however you want to look at that. And, you know, if somebody tells me I have to waste it doing something very stupid, that raises my eyebrow and my ire a little bit.
Well, I just don't know, since charging your car is not instantaneous like pumping your gas. Takes 7 minutes or something to pump your gas.
If that.
Yeah. And so Newsom is saying, well, we put 100 charging stations. Now, does that mean like a gas station that has 7 pumps, or one charging station in place of a gas station? I mean, it just, for a grown-up person who's supposed to be running the state, it just sounds very ill thought out.
By the way, are you Southern California, Bakersfield area?
I'm more Southern than that.
Well, here's the difference, Marilyn. You're in the portion of the country that the communists haven't gotten to yet. Let's take this break. 3-minute break, Doctor. We'll be back, and we'll take your phone calls as well if you'd like to opine or ask the good doctor a question. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Back. By the way, Doctor, while everybody else was focused on politics and Joe Biden and, you know, this, that, or the other, the World Vaccine Congress had a 4-day brainstorming session with 300 speakers and thousands in attendance in Washington, D.C. Didn't you see that covered on the news?
Of course not.
Well, and guess who? opened up the meeting there? Doctor, as this article refers to him, Short Stuff Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're talking about is the vaccine and how it's going to be dispersed, who's going to have to take it. It's going to be nurses and doctors, the first responders, because they're fully expecting that this year we are going to have flu and influenza like we have never seen before. And there's something very interesting happening with this. People are looking around with what information is left on the web that hasn't been scrubbed, hasn't been shadowed, or whatever. People are still finding out that, you know what, I'm not going to take this vaccine. We've got New York talking about mandatory vaccinations. Do you remember on the Affordable Care Act, as we lovingly refer to it as Obamacare, which would have been a disaster for care and the medical field and industry itself, do we remember when they were telling us that if you voluntarily didn't sign up, that you would be penalized, and you would be penalized some more until you signed up for the national health care?
That's right, and this scares me. of this step toward mandatory anything. Mandatory flu vaccines were an issue in the hospital, and unless someone had some sort of dispensation, you had to get a flu vaccine. And this has escalated now with the COVID vaccine. And I don't think people are going to go for it. And it's not because President Trump was in his bathroom inventing the vaccine. I think in general, people have stepped back to say, now, wait a minute, that depending on my age group, I have a very small fraction of a percent of dying from this, a smaller fraction than in the same age group of dying from the flu. Why would I take a vaccine when I'm healthy and I might be able to just boost my own immune system? People are starting to think more critically about this.
Well,
it's a little scary.
Well, and it points back, oh, you don't believe the science? Oh, well, when you see that the CDC, the World Health Organization, that they stand to make a lot of money off of this COVID-19 thing, the vaccinations, everything else. I mean, we got the drug companies just lined up. They're trying everything. They're testing vaccines now, and some of the reactions they're getting from the vaccines are not pretty. I don't know if they've killed anybody yet, but people are having severe reactions to their hastily cooked up brew to prevent you from getting the flu. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it just came out that way.
And it's one of these things. You don't want to sound conspiratorial, but when both sides of the aisle get well over $100 million in money from pharma, it must affect their judgment somehow.
What?
And we can't expect human nature to change, but I think we humans, we everyday folk, we doctors, are opening our eyes a bit to this, and I hope it continues. And I'm not telling anybody not to take a vaccine, not to get a flu shot, but I don't think these things should be mandatory.
Well, they certainly shouldn't be. I mean, look, based on science, you know, it was a little over 100 years ago that we stopped bloodletting in this country. Now, most people don't understand that because, well, they weren't around and nobody talks about it because, you know, it was kind of embarrassing. There was a medical practice that when somebody got ill, you actually brought them in and you started leaking blood out of their body in the hopes that, it's going to get rid of the disease. That's the last thing that you would want to do. But it was a practice and it was accepted and it went away quietly. Science is not the end-all be-all. Study and testing, you know, yes. But being told that this is of great import, millions are going to die if you don't do this, is beyond the pale for me, Doctor. Way beyond the pale.
Well, what's so bothersome to we physicians and others is this censorship that has gone wild. It's gone rampant. And I remember when a former head of the ACLU had made a comment kind of reflecting on Jeremy Bentham, the great philosopher, that the first target of censorship is rarely the last. So when people are kind of yucking it up that some of the conservative ideas are being censored, some of the doctors are being censored because they have some ideas about how to treat COVID that maybe Dr. Fauci doesn't like. Well, guess what? You could be next. And this is wrong. Censorship is wrong.
let me give you a live on-air example. I have Siri in my iPhone. Siri, what information do you have on Dr. Judy Mikovits?
Here's what I found.
Oh, it comes up Dr. Judy Michael Witt. She's been scrubbed from my iPhone. You cannot get any information on Judy Mikovits on a lot of different platforms, social platforms. Here is a woman. She was a virologist. She knew her stuff. And she was not to be compromised. She wasn't about the money. She's never sought the fame. She's just a hard-working doctor that looked into this, that knew what she was talking about, and started to scream foul. Well, they tried to buy her off. They threatened her. They threw her in jail without charges. She's out and about now, but she has just been deplatformed from every news outlet, every newspaper, magazine, social platform, you name it. She's non-existent.
Well, look at Dr. Zelenko, who has had literally thousands of patients he's treated with his regimen with hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
He's been scrubbed. Once it became a dirty word for whatever reasons, mostly political, not medical, people should not be scrubbed. Let people make their own decision. And generally, things that are totally off the wall reveal themselves as such. And we don't need Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these other fools to tell us what to think.
Well, Andrew Cuomo is complaining that his neighbors are sending too many diseased travelers and commuters across the border into New York. So this is what this character is going to do. He says, we're now in a situation where 43 states are on our travel advisory. This is really a bizarre outcome. No kidding, Cuomo. New York had the highest infection rate at the beginning of the pandemic. We now have 43 states on our quarantine list. It just shows you how different the situation is now. And to the extent travel among the states or between the states is not essential, it should be avoided. Now, again, I am appalled at this because I've seen the real numbers. Once you take off the toe tag of all the people that find themselves in the mortuary that died from motorcycle, car accidents, drownings, house fires, falling off of buildings, cliffs, whatever, then you're tagged up as, oh, well, you were COVID-19 positive. And then you're put on the 225,000 list of Americans that are dead because of COVID-19. Jeez, oh, Pete's, come on.
And this is a scam on Americans. And I just wonder, if it were not an election year, would we be getting that same number taken out of context? Because you're right that people who happen to have a positive COVID test, and as I mentioned earlier, 40% of people with a positive COVID test aren't sick. So, they died from COVID?
But Marilyn, what is the PCR test? What is it showing you? They're counting
dead virus.
Exactly, and what they're saying to us is, well, these are cases. Okay, well, wait a minute here. When doctors have cases, they've got patients. They've got an active file, okay? You got a person that's sick. Okay, let's diagnose them. Let's treat them. Let's make them better. Let's get them on their way. First, do no harm. I still think that's supposed to be in the medical industry, but everybody that has come out, and we're talking learned people. We're not talking about crackpots or conspiracy theorists. We're talking about people that know their field inside and out. And they're all starting to say the same thing. The news is not reporting on the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of doctors in Europe that are saying, stop this insanity. Stop it. You know, and to guarantee that there might have been, and it didn't pan out this way. This is why they went with a PCR test the way that they did. And then counting supposed positive tests as actually being a case. No, if you're a doctor, you got a case, you got a sick person, you cure them, and you get them on. These are not cases. These are not people that are actively sick.
That's right. And we have to make that distinction. But of course, when the news wants to make it look like more people are sick, they call everything a case, and everything is not a case. Even medically speaking, epidemiologically speaking, you do not call people who are asymptomatic don't have the disease, don't ever get the disease. They are not called a case. They are a positive test.
My secretary here at the network, she's got a group of friends she vacations with in southern Texas on the Gulf every year in October. And last year, one of the friends that she had met down there, the wife and the husband was involved in a boating accident. He drowned. She did not. They're in an ambulance. They don't want to let her in the ambulance. And she said, look, I'm going where my husband's going. They got him deceased. Let's make this clear. They got the dead man to the hospital and then tested him and then chalked that case up to a COVID-19 case when it was clearly a drowning accident. I know this firsthand.
And there's many other stories like that that people attest that it's a firsthand story, and certainly doctors in the hospital. And there's no question that some of it came about because the hospital does get more money for treating a COVID patient, which mm-hmm. if you're really a COVID patient, it's understandable, because just imagine having to replace that personal protective equipment on every nurse, every shift, et cetera. The cost does build up. So that's a reasonable thing to pay the hospital more for COVID. But if you just want to list somebody as a COVID patient just to collect more federal dollars, that's when you cross the border, and that's not quite right. And what it does is it scares people.
Yep.
And needlessly, and the broader thing we're seeing, my goodness, older folks are scared into isolation. They are afraid to leave their home. And even though older folks are at higher risk, not every older folk is at higher risk. And there's actually just recently a study that came out where somebody, again, COVID's been around long enough, where they looked at people to see who are the people who are getting sick. And one thing that, interestingly, of ICU patients that's consistent are people with a high BMI, fat people. I'll just say it. People who are very fat. And that's consistent. People with diabetes, people with high blood pressure comes next. But, and in fact, because there's so many overweight, and this is not just an extra 5 pounds or something, but fat people, that people have looked into what is this relationship, and people are actually finding that there's some sort of cellular reaction with fat and people who have diabetes. So the research is going down these pathways so you can help identify who will get sick from this virus and let everybody else go on about their business.
You know, I just know that you're in a more conservative area of California, because just how insensitive was that to say that a person that is morbidly obese is fat?
I know. I'm a bad person.
Well, so we won't know until that fat lady sings, will we? Sherry in Kansas. Hello, Sherry. You're on with Dr.
Hello.
Singleton. Hello.
Hello.
Dr. Singleton, were you aware that John Rappaport said that on July 13th of this year, the CDC actually admitted, and it was in the paper, about how to do this PCR test, that they had no quantifiable sample of COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, whatever. I'm not sure. I think they... because SARS-CoV-2 is supposed to be the virus that causes COVID-19, right?
Right.
But they actually admitted they had no quantifiable sample. So if they don't, what are these vaccine-making companies using to make these vaccines? Because they started before July 13th.
Well, they presumably got the genetic code for it from China. So don't laugh at me, but
Well, but didn't Dr. Shortstuff Fauci, didn't he make sure that the Wuhan lab, they funneled, the NIH funneled $3.5 million to the Wuhan lab? So what was that? Cook us up a virus here?
That's supposed to keep us aware of this sort of viral research. And that was a big arm of research, is what's called zoonosis, animal to human viral transfer. And people have been working on this for years because it was assumed that's where AIDS jumped from a monkey to a human. So China presumably gave us the correct viral code. And you can think what you like. I'm not going to speculate whether everything that comes out of China is true or not true.
Well, it depends on the political season. Russia and Vladimir Putin is the world's greatest enemy, or it's communist Chinese. But if you take a look at the relationship between the two, Donald Trump with Vladimir Putin just went into the arms treaty and extended that. So, you know, for these madcap people, and I'm sorry, didn't the Iron Curtain fall in Russia? Didn't Vladimir Putin order all the churches to reopen? He did a lot of things that reversed what the communists had done, literally oppressing their people in Mother Russia for years and years and years. And Vladimir gets in there, turns the whole thing around. The country starts to come back economically. And, well, they're still not to be trusted. But yet we'll do deals with communist China, run up $600-700 billion, approaching, mind you, trillion-dollar deficits with China, and that was okay. To eliminate jobs in this country, to affect our financial stability, that was okay. But now we're back on the track, and if you listen to the neocons, they're always identified on the medias. They'll come out with some from left-field story about why we should be fearing China. Look, I got news for all these people. As long as we still have nuclear weapons, there's not going to be any more world wars. Does everybody get and understand that? Because everybody is armed now with the nukes, and isn't it strange? We've had them for what, 65, 75, 80 years plus? But yet there's never been a nuclear exchange between two countries because they know inevitably where that leads. It's maddening, Doctor, to watch this world. And the idiocy. I don't like scared people. They cannot be trusted.
And I don't like taking facts and manipulating them for political reasons, especially when it comes to medicine.
Well, you have watched the destruction of the medical care in this. We used to be the world's best, or right at the very top. It was arguable. But we were right at the very top. And what you saw was the insurance companies coming in. You saw other people sticking their hands in the pots. And then we got the lawyers involved. And then we basically priced medical care out of most people's hands. That if they didn't have to carry insurance, I can remember my family didn't carry insurance. And when something happened, you went to the doctor. If you couldn't make the payment in full, you made weekly payments. It was still kept low because it was still kept on a competitive basis. You were competing with customers that happened to be sick people. You'd have two or three hospitals in a town that was 50, 60, 70,000 people. Why was that happening? Because they were on a basis of competition. They offered the best service for the cheapest prices. You call up one hospital and say, okay, what's this procedure cost? You go right down the line, you find the cheapest people that are still reputable, and then you go have it done there. What has taken over the medical industry is the politicians.
And we need to go back to that old way. And then there was a time where you could charge patients what that patient could pay without getting in trouble with the government or in trouble with the insurance. It's considered fraud now if you're signed up with insurance companies or government programs, if you don't charge every patient the same thing. Well, in the old days, if you had someone who was down on their luck or poverty stricken, you could see them for a couple of dollars. And if you're outside the system, you can still do that. That's what I did when I had my cash pain management practice, that I charge people what they could afford. Yes, you have a standard price. But if somebody's on hard times, you know, doctors are people just like anybody else. And they have hearts just like anybody else. But I hated it when the corporatization of medicine made it such that you couldn't have a heart anymore.
And isn't it amazing, doctor, that, you know, it's the old Hegelian dialectic, or the thesis, antithesis, synthesis. They create the problem, then they tell you how bad it is, and then they come up with their solution. They screwed the medical industry so badly in this country that they couldn't afford to do it where people could afford it. So what do we necessarily have to do? Well, we've got to have national health care now. National health care. It's mandatory. I look at this, and you want to talk about short-term memory in a lot of people. Are they forgetting those days that you suggested that a doctor wouldn't necessarily charge you, you know, past your wallet or put you in hard times just to pay a bill? And I can remember, I can still remember this doctor. The doctor used to make house calls. Remember those days?
Oh, absolutely. Well, even in medical school, we were taught how to make house calls. But one of the problems there is a practical problem. In the old days, there wasn't much a doctor could do for you, and people wouldn't sue you if when you said, I think you have indigestion, and it turned out it was a heart attack. Now, you can't make that mistake. It's like, you better go to the emergency room, get the EKG.
Okay, all right, okay. I'll give you that one, doctor, but we're talking about the doctors themselves and their ability to diagnose. Just because he shows up at your front door with his little leather satchel and he comes in and he can't diagnose properly, he's got to have at least the ability to look at it and go, okay, I need a consult on this, or I need more information, so I'm sorry, you're going to have to come into the hospital. That was, I don't want to leave people with the impression that the doctor just showed up and if he didn't diagnose you right, you just died. Okay.
Well, and that's, boy, talk about a whole nother conversation.
Yes.
Is where medical school is going and a lot of things done on computer rather than touching real human bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taught by touching bodies, not by a computer. And I think it adds a level of compassion and empathy when you actually learn your medicine from dealing with patients and talking to patients, and you improve yourself and you improve your knowledge.
Well, Dr. Marilyn Singleton, I appreciate your time today. Her article, Masters of COVID Gloom, Lysenkoism and Squirrels, is on republicbroadcasting.org. Thank you, doctor. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Alrighty, ma'am. We'll take the top of the hour break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We must take the medical bed.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.